Blog Talk Radio.
You know we're talking about the
gentlemen, it is all about the boom, and today it's actually more than the boom. It's about the chicken wings, it's about the baked cookies that I have, it's about that Snicker brownie commercial that I just saw on TV, and it's about wrestling this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the FTW Future Focus. I am your hungry host, the Masked Man Bob Rogers, as you can tell. We got on the microphone with us, first out of Chicago, Illinois. He loves to rank Tony Khan. He probably drank him too much if he had a truck and a rope. He is marvelous, Marcus. Marcus, what's up?
What's up, fellas? What's up?
Not much, man. Not much, man. Also on the microphone, by way of Chicago, Illinois, out of Indianapolis, Indiana, he is the man, the president of the Motown Wrestling Group. He is Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up?
What's up? I'm looking forward to this show. It's going to be a lot of fun today.
Oh, heck yeah. Also, with this is our not-so-humble correspondent. He is out of Bloomfield, Indiana. Any Chinese girls that's around or Thai girls, you are in trouble because this man will scoop you up and put you in his house for life. He is Robert.
Don't give away my secrets.
No, we can talk about those black girls off the show. So, Robert, me and you, we need to talk about that.
Good Lord. I hope you guys are doing good this weekend because it's been a roller coaster of good and bad. I'm sorry I couldn't be here last week, but I was having some eye issues. Thankfully that has passed and I'm back here on the horn for WrestleMania weekend and just wrestling in general weekend.
Well, Rob, I told you about telling that Thai girl to do that split move that Nikita Lyons do. That's why your eye was messed up, man.
That's a good reason.
Well, you know, if you've got to lose your eyesight, it needs to be for a good cause. Know what I mean?
I'm not mad at you on that one. Let's just say I would eat that one up too.
I wasn't invited, so I'm mad. I wasn't invited, so I'm mad.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week has been nothing but full of wrestling, good wrestling. I wish we could talk about Rampage. Dynamite. But we have been so packed. I mean, hold on. What background noise is that?
Not me. I've got a very quiet house right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It stopped.
It stopped.
And then it started to get a bit. Then it stopped.
Yeah, I might have had my fan. That might have been my fan. I turned it off.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Oh.
Nope, there it goes.
Oh, wow.
Let me do a test. Hold on. Okay, well, I found it on the first try.
Oh, okay.
Tony, it's something in your background.
All right, I'm going to switch to my earpiece then.
All right. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a week of wrestling. Oh, my goodness. It has been jam-packed and filled. We're going to go ahead and get started with the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor. This match literally had 11, this show had a literally, what, 12 matches?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was beyond a super card. That was called, like, that was a marathon card.
Yeah,
it was good
nonetheless. It was a huge show.
Yeah. But nonetheless, on the pre-show, Colt Cabana versus Blake Christian, Colt Cabana wins on that one. I kind of like the flow of the match. I'm going to give it a rating out of 10. Oh, yeah, all of our matches that we're going to do today is going to be rated up to 10. 10 is the highest. 1 is the lowest. I might go negative sometimes because there's a couple of matches I think that should be negative. But on this one, myself, I'm going to put this as a 7. I think it was a good match. I think they did well. I think it could have been better, but it's a pre-show match. What do you expect? Rob, what do you think?
I'll give it the same, a 6.5, 7, because it's been a while since we have seen Colt Cabana in his actual element. It was refreshing to see him not in the Dark Order, so it was a nice way to start that night. So yeah, I'd give it a solid 6.5.
Also, it was good to see that Colt Cabana. You know, it's good to see that he's out there wrestling and CM Punk is not shutting him up. I got to give it that one because I think they feel salty about what happened back in the day.
Yeah.
Next match I want to discuss, AQA versus Miranda Aziz. I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous about this match. I was real nervous about this match coming up. But to be honest with you, AQA did very well, surprisingly well. So I got to give this. I'm actually going to give this one an 8. What about you, Rob?
I'll give it a 7 because they went through the match fairly well. There may have been some timing issues going on, but yeah, AQA pulled off the match fairly well. So yeah, I'd give it a 7.
Yeah, that what was it? Was it a shooting star press at the end?
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a shooting star press at the end. That was amazing. I see flashes of greatness from her. I just think AQA needs to have more matches under her belt before she comes up to a platform like AEW. That's just me.
Yeah.
I think Ring of Honor is going to fit her well.
Oh, yeah.
The next match. The Shinobi Shadow Squad takes on Tully Blanchard's new gathering, the Gates of Agony. Gates of Agony takes that one. Rob, go ahead. What do you think of this one?
It was basically a squash match, mainly just to get Tully Blanchard Enterprises over. I would give it a 5 on that basis. The team looks awesome, and at least they're doing something with Tully Blanchard besides having him be fired by FTR. So to start him fresh in Ring of Honor is a good thing. But since it was basically a squash match and it made them look good, I'll give it a 5 out of the gate.
I'm going to give it a 6, and this is the reason, only reason I get an extra point for me. I'm thinking, number one, you talking about Shinobi. I mean, you say the word Shinobi, all of us old school gamers are going to perk up our ears real quick. I mean, I missed the old Shinobi game. So I think that was kind of a cool name on the other squad. But wrestling-wise, I mean, I really liked seeing Tully out there with another team, and I could see the future of him coming back and getting back at FTR. That's my thing. If these guys can develop, they can come back and challenge FTR. FTR can help these guys grow. So I'm liking the combination. I'm glad they got him somewhere, so I gave it a 6. Next match, Dalton Castle takes on, Joe Hendry. I only watched a little bit of this match because something about Dalton Castle kind of, like, bothers me. I don't know why. But Dalton Castle kind of bothers me. He's like that guy that you see in the neighborhood that just creeps you out. So I am giving this one. It was good wrestling, though. I mean, I can't say it wasn't good wrestling. It could have been better. It barely got a 7 with me. What about you, Rob?
I'll go ahead and give it the 7. I mean, I think that the thing that might bother you about Dalton Castle is the fact that he should be a heel, but he's not right now. And there's something about bringing that weird entourage to the ring. He calls them his chickens, and that's it's a heel thing to do, and he basically gives a heel vibe, but for whatever reason, he's a face in Ring of Honor, at least at the moment. So, but he's a good talent, though, so I'll give the match a 7.
Cool. Next matchup, Swerve Strickland takes on Alex Zane. I was looking forward to this match. This is one of the matches I thought that was a sleeper. It kind of performed that way. I think they actually toned it down just a little bit and told them to turn it down because of what was coming for the rest of the card. I think we're going to see a return match with these guys to bring in the house down. For what they did, though, in that time that they had, I thought was awesome. But I didn't think it was too awesome. There was a couple of mistakes there. I don't expect a match to be perfect, but it was just a little bit of a slowdown that kind of bothered me a bit. So I gave it an 8. Rob, what do you think?
Oh, I would bring it up a notch and say a 9 because there was something about the way that Zane and Strickland gelled inside the ring that made the match just really, really candy for me. Especially Zane, who I almost got a chance to call a match for in New Wave Pro, but for some reason the booking didn't work out, and I think he had an injury of some kind and couldn't make it out to the show, but I'm really hoping that he can because I want to call a Alex Zane match. But still, he and Strickland put on a fantastic clinic, and if they ever get the chance to have a rematch, it's probably going to be even better.
I agree with that, but you don't think that slowdown was a little rough, though?
Well, there's going to be rough spots in every match, especially since I think this was the first time that these guys have ever met. So taking that into consideration, I'm willing to cut them that kind of slack.
I get you. Okay. Our next match, Ninja Mac. Not Bernie Mac, Ninja Mac. You're taking on Brian Cage. And Tully Blanchard is his manager. So the one good thing I can say is his wife won't be – The one thing I can say out of this is his wife won't be calling up complaining no more on Twitter. The other part that I'm looking at is it was an okay match. I think Brian Cage needs to be in there with somebody better. I think that's one of the reasons why it didn't click with me well. I gave this match a 6. Rob, what do you think?
I would give it like a 4.5, 5, something like that. I mean, it was a squash match, and Ninja Mac was supposed to go down and go down hard, and he made Brian Cage look like $1 million. The thing is, I think that Ninja Mac is a holdover, a regular of GCW, isn't he? I think he is. But, yeah. So,
I think he is, too.
This really wasn't his... this really wasn't his element, and it kind of showed. So, but it was mostly there to put over Brian Cage, and we already know what Brian Cage can do. So, I'd give it a 4.5.
Okay, this is what scares me, and see, this is part of my fear again. GCW has Calvin Tankman. He just became a tag team champion. If we put people like Ninja Mac in there and display him like that, how serious are they going to take someone like Calvin Tankman if he comes up? You know,
well,
but we'll talk about that.
I mean, I don't really have any issues with Ninja Mac personally. It's just that the way he was utilized for this match was more or less just a throwaway, and that's what Brian Cage needed for a reintroduction, especially since he was getting a new manager and that sort of thing. So I'm okay with it, but it depends on how they use him in the future. If they turn him into enhancement talent, quote unquote, then it's really going to be a waste to have him on Ring of Honor, but it just depends on the future.
Next match up. Oh boy. Jay Lethal taking on Moriarty. Of course, Lethal took that one, turned heel, which explains everything that was happening in the AEW. I get it now. I'm loving it. Jay Lethal, Moriarty, to me, tore down the house. I gave it a 9. Rob, what do you say?
Yeah. I'll give it a 9, maybe a 9.5, because they not only told a convincing story, but they did the reluctant heel turn for Jay Lethal, and even though you could see the desperation on his face from the way that he won the match, and then it made sense for events later on, and you could see how he just basically turned into it and accepted it, and the match itself was not only dynamic, but the storytelling they did in it was phenomenal. So yeah, 9.5.
I'm actually happy they turned heel, because I like him more as a heel than a face myself.
Yeah,
me too.
He's going to be a force to reckon with coming up here soon. Next matchup, Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Martinez. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think Nightingale's got a good upside. I think she's got a real good upside. And it's Mercedes Martinez. What more do you got to say? I gave this one a 9. I wanted to give it a 10, but it was just a couple of things in there that threw me off. I'm going with a 9 just to be safe. I really think this is ours, like a 9.5, 9.75. But I'm going with a 9. Rob?
I'm around the same. I'm around the same. I would take it down a notch to like an 8, 8.5, only because there were a couple of timing issues between Willow and Mercedes. I think that's because they have not, again, I think this is a first-time matchup. So I'm not, like, penalizing them for anything major, but especially not Mercedes, because she... she was able to do things in this match that she hasn't been able to do in AEW yet. So, I would give it an 8.5. But those are just timing issues. It was a fantastic match overall, and Willow Nightingale is a fun, bubbly baby face. So
She's definitely got an upside to her. I can't wait to see her and more of the matches. Mercedes, oh, my God. Yes, I love her. Brute horse, just herself. She doesn't have to play the role like she was in WWE. I mean, I couldn't ask for – well, yeah, I could ask for more, because we talk about the next matchup. Briscoes versus FTR. Do we need to say anything else?
Not really. No. No. Oh, my God.
I got that as a 10,
match.
And if – If I got it as a 10, if I could give it more, I would. But, hey, 10 is the limit, so we got to go with 10.
They lived up to the hype. It was, I mean, it was about as close to it was about as close to expectations as you could possibly get. So yeah, I would give it a 10, 9.5 at the very least, and that they really brought the house down, and the inclusion of the Bucks at the end in order to further things onto Dynamite with FTR turning completely babyface, that's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait to see where they go with this, especially if it leads to, like, crossover matches between them on Ring of Honor television. So that was,
yeah,
that
but
was, that was
get,
some fun.
Hold on. They just shit on the Briscoes, though. I'm sorry. They should have super kicked the Briscoes. I'm sorry. I think the Young Bucks would have been played better if they would have stayed out of everything and let the match sit as it was. I think them jumping in there just made them look more big-headed and was interfering in something that really, in my opinion, they had nothing to do with. They had nothing to do with that match. They should have waited till they came on Dynamite with those titles and then started something. Young Bucks is just too glory hungry. I'm sorry. That's just no. No. I think the Young Bucks
they might have interjected themselves into that because of their ego, but look at the storyline potential here. The Briscoes have a legitimate beef with the Bucks. So, you know, for Ring of Honor television, so that when the Bucks show up there, then Jay and Mark are going to want to get into them. FTR crossing over to Dynamite with the Ring of Honor tag titles to face off against the Bucks. And, of course, the FTR and the Briscoes still have some issues. So, I understand your frustration with it and that you don't like or respect the Bucks, so you don't want them in that particular mix. But the storyline potential there is enormous, especially given that TBS doesn't want the Briscoes on Dynamite or Rampage, which I think is horse crap. But given that they can't be on TBS, it's a good way for them to keep both feuds going and be able to have all three teams interact. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, we'll discuss this on another program because this goes into some deep stuff there. Next matchup, Rhett Titus takes on Minoru Suzuki. For the ROH TV Championship, Suzuki walks off with it. I was like, Suzuki, I know he's got a lot of respect, but and the match was all right. I mean, I can't say it was garbage, but I'm giving it a 7. Rob, what do you say?
I would say 5, and I'll tell you why. I mean, the match was not bad. It was not garbage. There's... You know, it was a decent match, but it was way too short, and I think that it kind of exposed Suzuki's weaknesses to American audiences, and the fact that he went over Rhett Titus for the belt, it was basically more for the sake of the co-op than anything else. And I respect Suzuki, mm-hmm. and I respect his style. He's a legend. But this match could have been a whole lot more than what it was. So I would – it was still good because both guys are good at what they do. But, you know, Suzuki has, like, certain weaknesses that get exposed when he's in there with somebody like Rhett Titus. So I'm giving it a 5.
Right on. ROH Pure Championship, Woods versus Yuta. I was interested in this one because of the history with Yuta and and God, how am I messing up his name? Regal developing.
Right.
That got me kind of interested in this match. Your new ROH Pure Championship is actually Yuta. So I'm giving that an 8. It was a good match. It could have been a little bit better, but it was good enough for me to where I could say, hey, it's cool as I don't know what. What about you, Rob?
I would agree with that. I would even bump it up to like 8.5, like 0.5 higher, because I was really impressed with Wheeler Yuta. And again, this is something that we haven't been able to see of him on AEW television. And putting the Pure title on him might elevate him in those regards as well, since they want to build ROH up. So the match was very technically sound, and it was behind Briscoe's FTR, I think it was almost match of the night. So hats off to Wheeler Yuta and to Woods as well, because they demonstrated a clinic in that match, and I was very impressed with the Pure rules as well, the way they reestablished that.
Well, I would almost agree with you, except for this last match that was going on. This was for the Ring of Honor World Championship. That was Jonathan Gresham taking on Bandido. Of course, there was two titles going on because of separation and all types of goofy stuff. The most underrated wrestler I think there is Gresham. Nobody really has pulled out what Gresham could do. And I think he is a sleeper for any federation to pick up. Well, I'm sorry. No, WWE would screw him up. He is a sleeper for AEW or ROH to develop in to be the top guy. I think he would probably give CM Punk and Danielson a run for his money. He is that technically sound. Bandido was awesome in this match. That's the best I've seen Bandido at any match like this. I've given this a 10. I give this a 10, 100%. Rob, what about you?
I loved this match. Don't get me wrong. It was like they had two matches in the Pure division back to back, and I think that they could have let Bandido open up just a little bit more and fly a little bit higher. But I think Bandido grounded himself on purpose in order to better fit Jonathan Gresham's style. And that was a good thing. The match was excellent because of that. And I agree about Jonathan Gresham. He is a very underrated talent, and I think he is the best guy for them to put the undisputed ROH world title on. I think he is the guy that they can build that brand around and like give the genuine ROH flavor. The one thing that I must emphasize is that WWE right now could screw up a cup of coffee. So it's par for the course that Gresham would never fit in WWE or NXT. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to anything they do with Jonathan Gresham on Ring of Honor or in AEW on the crossovers. But I would give the match itself a...
Go ahead.
No, I would give the match itself an 8.5, definitely.
Oh, okay. So that's an 8.5 on Gresham's match for you. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, I wish I could give him a bonus point because he has a hot wife. I love Jordynne Grace. Love her. Hey, I'm just saying, Jordynne Grace is cute. Jordynne Grace is cute, and she's strong, and she can wrestle. So, you trifecta right there. Trifecta. And if I ever meet Gresham in person, he might kill me for saying that, but I'm just saying it's true. But
Well, when it comes to professional wrestlers having hot wives, I'm sure there's a whole panoply of individuals who will kick all our asses for mentioning how hot their wives are. So I'm sure Jonathan Grisham will have to get in line behind Mike Bennett and behind several other people that will be lining up to kill us for mentioning how hot their wives are on the air.
Mike Bennett ain't got nothing to worry for me on that.
I'm sorry. For Jordan Grace, though, I'm going to have to take that ass whooping.
Yeah, I would, too. I would, too. Love you, Jordan. Next was NXT Stand and Deliver. Tony is Marcus, and I all watch these. We went from going from a supreme high of Friday. It was like going to the club. Everything was banging. The women was hot in the club. And then you go on a Saturday early, and it's the girls just like,
The girls who are chewing tobacco and have cesarean scars.
I wouldn't even mind if they chewed tobacco. My thing is, first matchup. Ladder match for the North American Championship. The winner in that one was Cameron Grimes. Tony, what did you think of it, and what's your rating?
For a ladder match, unfortunately, I'm kind of comparing it to past ladder matches, though, but on this ladder match, I give it a 7.
Marcus?
I give it about a 6, 6.5, standing. I think it like Grayson Waller almost broke his leg on that last bump he took. But, you know, I expected Cameron to win. So, you know, it was okay.
That was too obvious that Cameron was going to win that one.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't think he would.
I knew he would. I mean, with his dad, I was like, yeah, he's going to win that. How is he going to win? It's a different story, but he's going to win, you know. Carmelo, I'm sorry, you're going to the main roster and getting treated like crap. Carmelo, he's going to be like Carmelo Anthony off the New York Knicks. He's going to go to a team and just flounder. Yeah, I'm seeing it right here. Surprisingly, and you guys will be definitely surprised I'm already on this match, Tommaso Ciampa versus Tony D. Marcus, go first. Tony, and then I'll go.
I thought it was okay. Nothing special. Ciampa always does. I'm not really impressed with this Tony D'Angelo guy. Ciampa is always good. I'm going to give it about a 6.
I'm the same way. I gave it a 6 as well. I mean, as well as I said, I'm not really big on him either. So it would have been, Castle looks like it would be his last match with NXT, after the WWE period. Yeah, it was just a 6.
I'm sorry. Did you want to go ahead? Sorry.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it just kind of sucks that he's leaving. And, like, the fact that he's leaving, you knew that he was going to lose this match. So, yeah, 6.
Now, I am angry because it seems like all of these big companies take stuff from smaller companies and they try to put their own twist on them and everything. And I'm sorry. And Rob is going to be shocked when I say this because this guy is my rival. He has always been my rival. He has been my rival ever since I stepped a foot into the world of independent wrestling. But Tony D reminds me of a generic Wish version of Vinny Vachetti.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I would have way more fun, and I do, going against Vinny Vachetti than I would if I was on NXT getting paid all that money and facing Tony D. Vinny Vachetti brings that role out perfectly, that Italian gangster role. Vinny Vachetti seems like Vinny Vachetti seems like he's really Italian and really in there. This dude looks like he's a reject from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, he did have somebody from Sopranos with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say Sopranos. He looked like a reject from one of those Ragu commercials.
Would you even go there?
Yeah, he wouldn't even this be dude good is enough terrible. To be on Sopranos. Yeah.
Yeah, and because of Tony's because they always have the person that's leaving lose, which they should have changed in this instance, because they should have never gave Tony D a win in this situation. I gave this match a 5, and I'm being generous with a 5, because Tony D is crap. Vinny Vachetti should go on NXT, and Rob is going to drop his jaw when I say this. Vinny Vachetti should go on NXT and teach that man how to be an Italian gangster, straight up. Just say it.
Yeah. I mean, well, Veneshino Vachetti is just one of a kind, and you can't do gangster without mentioning Mr. Vachetti's name. So
I could do gangster.
No, the ER version, not the A version.
Oh, okay, I got you. My bad.
Yeah, not gangster, not gangsta. The difference between those two things.
Did I just sound like
the whitest white man on earth? I'm just saying.
No. Actually, the whitest white man on earth would have been like, really? Don't sound alike. At least you know the difference.
Well, I'm 1/16th Native American, so that might be what's my saving grace here.
Yeah, I think that came out in this one. The next matchup, triple threat for the NXT Tag Team Championship, MSK versus the Creed Brothers versus Imperium. MSK takes the title, shocked the crap out of me, but once I started thinking about it, I'm like, huh, yeah, they had to lose. Tony, what do you say?
I should win this match at 7. I don't know, MSK is really growing on me. It's like I was never a really big fan of them, but they could really go in the ring, though. So, I mean, I didn't pick them to win, but I wasn't mad that they won. No, the way they perform in that match, I mean, it was a solid match, and no, I'm not mad they won, so yeah, I give it a 7.
Marcus, what do you say?
I'm going to say a 6 simply because I'm higher on the Creed Brothers, and I really wanted them to win. I mean, MSK did okay. You know, I like Imperium, but I knew they wasn't going to win, so I was really hoping for the Creed to get this, but I'll give it about a 6.
And my score also was a 6, but it was because of the Creed Brothers. So we'll talk about that another time. Five way for the NXT Women's Championship. Oh God, Tony is cheesing on this one. Good Lord.
Oh, you know I am.
Oh God, Mandy Rose won this one. Let Marcus go first before you start gloat. Marcus, go ahead.
I don't know. I'm glad Tony's is not Chicago anymore because, God, I knew Mandy was going to win. I was hoping that. So I'm going to give it about a 6.
Tony,
8.
The floor is yours.
I give it an 8. I don't care what y'all say about Mandy Rose. She is improving in the ring. She got the look already. She's carrying herself as a champion. I thought she performed well in this match, probably better than a lot of people even expected. Of all the women in that match, I think she's the only one that carries herself as a champion and could be the face of the NXT Women Division, so I give it an 8.
Huh. That's interesting for you to say. So you honestly think that she is the one, of course, the only one in the match carrying herself as a champion. I could dig that. I could dig that a lot. But you really think that she was the only one in that match that could have carried herself as a champion
match,
in the division?
In that match,
yeah. I know I'm going to take some time out for some other stuff, but I look
at it. Io Shirai is the most talented one in that match, and if Mandy was going to lose, she's the only one I would have been okay with her losing to. But I think Io needs a mouthpiece, though.
Hold on. Give me a second. I need to look.
I mean, I think Mandy has.
Here we go. No, that's the. Whoa, where is that? Did they just say forget that match and didn't even put the results up on that one?
For which one?
The, here we go. No, I was stupid. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I got to give it to you, yeah. Because that girl with the skateboard got on my damn nerves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's
exactly.
Horrible. Yeah, she's horrible.
It's like, are you trying to be like the female Darby Allin? Are you serious?
Yeah, I would say she's a high school Darby Allin. Like, she looked like a fucking high school girl trying to be Darby Allin.
Hold on. Most of them look like high school girls. That's my problem with them. Most of them look like high school girls. They look like they just hit puberty, and they walking around saying, "I'm on a cheerleading squad. Do you want to do jumping jacks?" No, I'm sorry. I just, no. Dumb, yeah. I don't want to get into that one right now because I'm going to go on a tirade for that for about 45 minutes. next matchup. L.A. Knight takes on Walter. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, God. WWE's going to kick my behind. Oh, my God. Goose.
No. He's Walter. He's Walter. No, he is Walter.
Yeah.
He's not Walter. He's Walter. Walter. Got to put that V in that W. It's like a Volkswagen Bug. I'm wrong for that one. Walter wins in that one. I'm sorry. I like this match. I thought LA Knight is going to make it in the main roster. LA Knight's character will be what WWE is looking for with Drew Loper, and Vince McMahon will have a can of lotion behind the desk with. Gunther is another one I think he's going to have another can of lotion with for separate reasons, because he's that big brutality guy. I see them main eventing against each other in the future on the main roster, as long as they're on the same show. I gave this match a 9. Marcus, what do you say?
I gave it an 8.5. For everything that you said, I'm surprised LA Knight isn't already on the main roster. First and foremost, I mean, he's a typical Vince type of guy. I mean, he's great on the mic, has a great look, good wrestling ring. I mean, good in-ring ability, excuse me. And I think Walter is definitely going to be on the main roster soon. I think they're just going to give him a mouthpiece. I think because he doesn't have a lot of personality for the main roster. But the match itself,
yeah.
I'll say 8.5.
I don't think he's supposed to, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think he'll give him a mouthpiece. Right, that's why I think he'll get
they
a mouthpiece once he gets to the main roster. Yeah.
They'll have somebody that's a skinhead or something somewhere. Yeah, they'll find somebody. Tony, go ahead.
I gave it a 9. I thought this is a match that Walter definitely is going to win, but it was a match that like Eli Drake lost and still came out looking good on. I mean, those guys are phenomenal talents, and they put on a really good show, though. But, yeah, I gave it a 9.
Right on. Okay, main event time. Dolph Ziggler took on Braun Strowman. What the hell? Dolph Ziggler pulls it out? Braun Breaker, whatever. Strowman, Breaker, same thing as a WWE player. Anyway. The only thing I can think of is Braun is they're going to put Braun on the main roster now. And Dolph is going to keep the belt to test all these other younger cats. But that's the only reason I see that he did not win yesterday. This match was awesome. Ziggler's always been good and been underrated as well. I think if you want to take underrated talent versus underrated talent and make a golden match, you put Jonathan Gresham against Dolph Ziggler, and I'm telling you, they bring it out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I gave this match a 9.
You know, it's funny that you mention that, guys, because when you put those two champions side by side, it really shows you what their parent federations, their parent companies really want to use them for. Because ROH means something to AEW, and at the same time, NXT means certain things to WWE, and you can tell by who they have their titles on and how they're utilizing them as to what those promotions mean to their parent company.
You kind of jumped the gun on me because that's one of the subjects we're going to be talking about next week.
Ah, well, sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's wonderful because that's definitely something we're going to be talking about next week. Tony, what do you think about this match?
I thought it was a 9. I thought this was one of Braun Breaker's better matches. I picked off Ziggler to win this match. I was hoping he won. Braun is still green, though. I mean, he's developing great, but I don't think he should be the one carrying NXT at this point. You can get the belt on Ziggler. They're finally using Ziggler, and that's another reason why I picked him because he's a phenomenal talent that has been wasted.
Yes.
But now you finally give him an opportunity, and I hope he get a long run. I think he should take that title to the summer as they develop somebody and build somebody up to take the title off of him. But I think he should have a run at least going into the summer, though. The match was great. Dolph Ziggler made Braun Breaker look like $1 million and a loss, which is what you want with the possibility of him getting caught up. I think they pushed Breaker too fast to the top. I hope they don't drop the ball with him, though, but this match itself was phenomenal, and I'm happy Ziggler won. He deserved this.
Yep. Marcus, real quick, what do you think of this match?
Well, so since it's going to be quick, I mean, Tony took everything I was going to say. I mean, I give it a 9. Ziggler made Breaker look great. I mean, he really worked hard to make him look good. And I figured that knowing WWE, how they rushed their talents to the main roster, that Ziggler was going to win. So give it a 9.
Right on. Well, we have come to the point to where we have talked about the two shows that has gave us a little bit of joy, and now we go to WWE WrestleMania Saturday. All of our hopes and dreams of having great wrestling went straight down the crapper, didn't hit the sides of the pipe, flushed straight down to the sewer, and just all swam in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Now, you wasn't here, Rob, to make any picks last week. I'm going to say this. Tony, screw you.
Screw me?
Yeah, because you almost had a perfect night last night.
I know, and here's the bad part about it. If I would have stuck with my guns there and been like, "That's Becky Lynch," I would have went perfect.
Yeah. Well, let's go down these matches and.
God have mercy on our souls.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting the holy water out now. First matchup, and this is a sad little thing right here. Usos taking on Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Boogs got hurt in this match. Or something in his leg. I saw soon as he tried to pick both of them at and he went down like that, I saw it. I was like, yeah, he's done. I feel bad. I think the outcome of this match would have been different if he didn't hurt himself. I think it was set for Shinsuke and Boogs to win, but with him going down like that, Shinsuke just said, make it the Usos win. They're too powerful of a tag team to try to sit up there and say, hey, one guy can beat both of them.
One guy beat the Usos. You can't have one guy beat the Usos.
Yeah. No, you can't. It's just no way to do it. So Usos all won that matchup. Tony, you did pick that up. But, Tony, what is your ranking on that match itself?
I'm kind of conflicted on this. I'm going to give it a 6.5. I teeter between 6 and 7. It is really no fault of the talent. I think the match would have been better if Boogs didn't go down.
Yeah.
But I still give it a 6.5 just for the fact that I think they did the best that they could under those circumstances, though.
That's true. That's definitely true. Marcus, what do you say?
I gave it a 6 for the same reason. I think they tried to make something out of it, considering what happened. So the guys worked hard. I give it about 6.
And I'm going to throw this in. The fact that he's hurt, he grew on me. Boogs really grew on me. I didn't like him at first, but he's really grown on me. And it's just like the thought of him not being on SmackDown for some months kind of is very disappointing.
Yeah. I hate to see somebody get hurt. And Boogs did start growing on me, too. Rob, I know you watched it at least. What do you think? And give me your rating.
I will give it a 5, mainly because I love Shinsuke Nakamura. I am not that big on Boogs. I am sorry that he got hurt. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Boogs involved in the Big E injury too?
No.
Or was that somebody else?
No, that was Samus guy.
Okay,
that was Samus guy.
That was all Miss Holland.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry the guy got hurt, but Boogs has one of those annoying gimmicks that I really don't get into, that WWE seems to try to build into an I don't know. There's something about his game. He's got talent. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like. I don't like the way that they utilize him. And part of the reason that he got hurt is because of the way they utilize him. So. And that entrance. And I understand that they're jerking the curtain for WrestleMania on the first night, but that entrance was just completely unnecessary. They could have done something else.
Rob. I think you're being too hard on them now. I think the entrance is awesome. If I could DJ and walk myself down the aisle for WrestleMania, I had that mixing table flatten right down that aisle, and I'm mixing it up until like.
Well, okay, you have to understand that I've been watching WrestleMania so long that I even critique the America the Beautiful performances, and I gotta tell you, last night was not good. I was
last
really
night,
not.
No, not no. That it was a disappointment last night. It was.
We all know why that happened, though.
We all know why that happened, though. We ain't blind to that aspect. We don't even need to go into it right now. We know why that happened. It sucked. They need to go somewhere with their little views and start putting people in there that's going to make the song sound right. a fellow Satan on player with this just that all was. And they got a guitar string and they just make it sound all good. No.
It just I realized what they were going for, but it just didn't sound right. They need one singer for America the Beautiful for WrestleMania. They don't need to try to stylize it like that. But regardless of that, let's refocus on. I'm giving it a 5 for the opener.
Okay, next matchup, Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. I don't know how happy we can be on this one. I know Tony and Marcus was happy because I totally blew this one. I thought Corbin was going to take it. But
no.
Tony, go ahead with your thoughts.
The piss break. So, 4. They could put that on SmackDown and moved Andre the Giant back along to the main show. I just hope they're done. But 4, and I really 4. That's the most I can give them.
4. Okay, Marcus.
Not just special 5. I'm just happy I don't have to acknowledge you in front of live on the air. No, I'm just happy that McIntyre won, but nothing special at all. Very predictable 5.
I didn't think it was predictable. I thought they was going to slip it in there to give it to Corbin. I screwed up on that one. I totally blew this one. I didn't see McIntyre taking it. Maybe I should have, but I was just thinking it's WWE. They're going to do something sneaky. They didn't, which surprised me. I gave it a 5 myself. Next matchup. I'm sorry. I knew this next one was going to be yours. I knew this next one was going to be yours. So that's why, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pass you, but what's that, Rob?
No, that's okay. Four for this match. The storyline was boring. Basically, everything about this match was filler and a waste of time. They could have done a whole lot. They could have given McIntyre so much more to work with, and it was basically just filler. So I'll give it a 4 at best.
All right. Next matchup, Marcus, Tony, me, then Rob. Rey and Dominic Mysterio taking on The Miz and Logan Paul. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I know Rob is going to side-eye me, do the phone. I feel it. But Logan Paul wasn't that bad. He didn't embarrass himself.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say that based on the fact that I expected 0 from him. So I guess because my expectations were so low, the fact that he wasn't as bad as I thought he would be.
Who wasn't bad? Who wasn't bad?
I'm going to get a match itself about a 6.
Yeah. Okay.
So who did you think that
Logan
wasn't
Paul,
bad?
No, Logan Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Logan Paul wasn't as Logan Paul was as bad as I thought. He did. I thought he did okay.
Every time somebody says that name, it makes me. Oh God. Tony.
I agree, Marcus. Logan Paul didn't do as bad as I thought he was going to do. I had low expectations of this. Again, this just should have been on SmackDown, not WrestleMania, in my opinion. And I'll be honest with you, I thought Logan Paul was better than Dominic Mysterio. Yeah. I'm sick of him.
Sorry.
They could have had Rey Mysterio take on The Miz on SmackDown with them two at ringside, and it would have been better. But I'm happy Miz won, And having that little swerve at the end with Miz turning on Logan, because of the swerve at the end, I give it a 6.5.
Oh, God, I got to say this guy's name. Take a deep breath. Okay, Usa. Logan
Paul. Are you
Paul.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm going to do mine and you do yours. I'm just going to say it's a 5. I'm going to let Rob take this whole thing. Because I think what I'm going to say is probably the same thing Rob is going to say. I'm going to give it a 5, and I barely gave it a 5. I really wanted to give it like a 4. And actually, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I mean, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. Rob, please do the honors of saying it for me. I'm going to get my bucket here because I know you got to say his name. So,
celebrity matches in wrestling. And now this is going to shock you, but I believe that Marcus is right on the money. Logan Paul actually did a whole lot better than I thought he was going to do. But that is given that is the lowest bar possible because I thought he was going to go
right
in there. And
exactly.
I thought he was going to go in there and he was going to pull a Kevin Nash and tear his quad crossing the ring. So the fact that he actually did some competent work in the ring, like, elevates this celebrity match almost to, like the LT Bam 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 Bigelow levels of celebrity match. But we still have the issue of the fact that, yes, this match should have been on SmackDown because it was that low a quality, and the celebrities still went over. And that does not bode well for tonight's WrestleMania event. So yeah, I will give it a 4, maybe a 4.5, because Logan Paul didn't make a fool out of everyone. But the taste that this match leaves in my mouth is the same one that Bobby is chewing on right now. So 4.5 for me out of this fiasco.
Okay, I got to say something else to this one because Rob didn't hit. I thought he was going to say what I thought he was going to say, and he didn't. I'm sorry. The thing that first pissed me off about this whole damn thing was Logan Paul's brother getting on the pre-show talking trash. Who are you, dude? What are you doing talking trash? Why are you even on the set? Why are you even born?
I skipped the pre-show.
You should be glad you did. You should be glad you did. Because he got on there. And even what was his name? Booker T even said, you know, you ought to try this out because you're a natural heel. Because as soon as he said his name, everybody booed. Everybody booed. Nobody likes this guy.
He booed himself.
Yeah, he's like, I'll boo me, you dumbass.
You see, this is the thing I'm talking about. Celebrities in wrestling cause this problem because they think that this is just a theatrical performance and that this is all
No. I don't. Hold on. Wait. Let me stop you there. I don't think the Pauls think this is a theatrical performance. I think they think this is the ego boost. Just like with this Floyd Mayweather fight, just like with all the other stuff that other Paul has done, at least that one brother has done something somewhat in the ring with a couple of guys. This dude that was on there talking trash, I don't even know where he comes from. I think he's the reject from the mother's womb. That's what I think he is. You know, he should not be getting on the set and talking about – he should not be getting on the set talking about he go whoop certain wrestlers and Booker T sitting up there laughing about it because he thinks it's funny because he's a heel and he's getting people booing him. No, I'm sorry. You are a professional wrestler, Booker T. You should be putting your foot in his behind like, hold on. This ain't playground, dude. If you want to sit up here and think you're tough, let me take off my tuxedo jacket and we can go in that ring right now and I'll show you how good it is. But no, he's playing up like, I almost want to smack the brains out of Booker T for that.
Well,
I would have Will Smith him all day on that set.
You know what? I am surprised to hear this because I guess Booker T didn't take him seriously enough to stretch him. Was Lawler up there?
Yeah,
Lawler
was funny too.
Lawler was right there, and he let that son of a disrespect.
Right?
Oh my!
Yeah, Lawler had
like,
his back.
Yeah, Lawler had to have Paul's back, like. I expected
Lawler too because both of them from Cleveland. So I kind of expected Lawler to do that.
Lawler was strong on that heel heat. Like Lawler was like the heel person on the pre-show. Like he was the typical heel.
Yeah, and I expected him to do that. Booker T and JBL. Okay. Especially JBL sitting there. And JBL was quiet, if you notice. He didn't say that much in his
set. He didn't say shit.
Because I think JBL wanted to tear him off. It was going to be another Blue Meanie incident with JBL the way he was looking.
But you know, they had people in their ears while they up there, though. So I got a feeling like, shut up.
Yeah, JBL, calm down. Just let him do his thing. He's doing the publicity. Set it. Calm down.
Right.
I think that would have been another Blue Meanie with JBL. So I'm sorry. That dude and those dudes, I'm sorry. I don't care who it is. They wouldn't even have to put $100,000 up for me. I do it for free. I get in the ring with him and whoop his ass. And I'm being dead serious.
I would get in the ring and whoop his ass just because he's a celebrity in wrestling. Oh, I wish I had seen the pre-show now because now I'm taking away that 0.5. There, no more extra credit for Logan Paul. I'm sorry. Now I'm on your side, Bobby. Oh, my God.
I didn't penalize Logan Paul for that because it was his brother saying it, not him. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, family members sometimes is kind of go on their own shit.
Yeah, I was in
dude,
out.
I
completely missed that.
You do not think they're setting up with the Logan Paul brothers is going to go against The Miz and somebody else?
I don't know who somebody else is going to be. Who the fuck is going to be with Miz?
I'm going to be honest with you.
I think it could be.
I think because
the
Miz is they're putting Miz as a baby right now. I think somebody would step up and fight them just to spot because of it's the Paul brothers.
Maybe it'll
and then
be
the Miz
JBL.
Is gonna turn.
He'll get in there
and then the
shoot
Miz.
On that little prick.
Miz more as a heel than Paul, though.
Right, yeah. And remember,
and they flipped him
last WrestleMania. Remember last WrestleMania, Paul got did a thing with Owens, so I could see that. Miz and Owens.
Mm. Owens a heel. I don't know unless they flip them back. I mean they flip people like a light switch these days. So,
I don't like how they're flipping people back and forth at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we took a little too much. No, actually, we didn't take that much time on this one. That's cool. Next matchup: Becky Lynch taking on Bianca Belair for the WWE Women's Championship. I am proud to say Bianca Belair took this match. Rob, kick it off on this one.
Okay. There's a school of thought that I was reading online about this match that this was the plan all along, that the reason that they had that that crappy SummerSlam match was because they were trying to do with Bianca Belair what they did with Daniel Bryan with the 18 seconds with Sheamus back in the day. But I don't buy that argument because that whole incident, in and of itself, was a mistake, and they seriously thought that they were going to bury Daniel Bryan back then by doing that. And last night's match was a really great match, and they put over Bianca strong, and I think that Becky finally gave her the match that she truly deserved. However, because it was delayed and because the conclusion could not have been anything else or otherwise, the criticisms that were put on the original would have stuck. That they were basically stuck in a corner for that finish, and there was really nothing else they could do. But I can't penalize the performers for that, so I'm going to give the match a 7. It was a damn good match, but you could tell that the ending and the way that it was booked, they were forced into. So I have to take out I have to take the impact of the match back because of that, but I will give it a 7 because both ladies went out there and they performed to the best of their ability.
Tony, what you think?
Okay, I don't think this was like planned. I think it was like Daniel Bryan, and they kind of like was forced into it. But I wasn't really 1,000% sure they would like go with it because I don't think this is what WWE wanted. I thought they wanted Big Time Dex to win. Fucking dirty bitch. But match is really good. Both of them performed. They both performed. I mean, it was a phenomenal match. I enjoyed this from beginning to end. I'm happy that Bianca. I'm excited that Bianca won. I think I'll give it an 8.5. But this decision for her to win wasn't by design from SummerSlam. It was by force because of the backlash that they received.
Right on, Marcus. What do you think?
I enjoyed the match. I give it an 8. I really thought they were going to let Becky win based on Raw, where Bianca cut her hair. I thought Becky was going to win, but I enjoyed the match.
What did I say before we got on the air? Marcus got on the phone.
I think it was just me and you talking on that one, though, but yeah, you said the exact same thing.
All right, my rating on this one is a 9. And the reason why it's a 9 is this was my match of the night for the Saturday show. They put on a clinic. These girls was doing reversal on reversal on reversal on reversal. I know what you can do. I know what you can do, but I'm going to counter it. I know what you're going to do to counter my counter, so I'm going to counter yours. You know, it was awesome. It could have flowed a little bit better, but once they got into it, it was on point. On point. That rocky start is what prevented me from giving it a 10. Other than that, technically sound, awesome match, had the crowd up and down. I mean, you almost peed on yourself when you watched this match. Yeah, I'm going to give it, yes, the ultimate 9. Next matchup, Charlotte Flair. Wait a minute. Hold on, take that back. I'm sorry. Seth Rollins. Oh, God. Yeah. Seth Rollins taking on the unknown entity that came in, which was Cody Rhodes. I'll just go first on this one. Technically sound match. Disappointing for me on other issues, but as far as the match itself goes, technically sound. Thought it could have been better, but I gave it an 8. So, Marcus, go ahead. What do you say?
Now, for me, this was the match of the night. I really enjoyed it. I'm ecstatic that Cody won, not because I'm that big of a Cody fan. It's just because he's coming in from AEW, I thought he was going to pull a Sting, a Chris Benoit, and all of them, and make Cody lose because he's the big star coming in, and Vince wanted to show, hey, you coming in, you going to beat our guys. That's why I just thought Seth was going to win, but I really enjoyed the match. It told a great story. I give it a 9.
All right, Tony, what do you think?
I'm actually going to agree with Marcus. I mean, to the T, to be honest with you. I'm still going to give it a 9.
Okay. My bad.
My match of the night is coming up. But I thought it was a good match. I think the thing that separated this from being a 9 out of 10, it was a good match. It was a really, really good match. I think it was a good story. With the rumors going around, like, nobody really definitively knew it was Cody, especially when Undertaker dropped the hint with the, like, never say never. There's a lot of people buzzing that was going to be the Undertaker. So I thought they did a good job as best as they could to keep it a secret, even though the secret was out. I thought they told a phenomenal story. I think the thing that could have took this mess on a 9 to a 10 would have been, like, the fans, because it's, like, as good as they were doing in the ring, they were not into it in the beginning. I mean, the beginning of the match, like, they were doing good, but the crowd was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And I think that kind of took away from the match. But still phenomenal match. I don't have a lot of high expectations for Cody's run, but it's starting off good, and I don't think he even says off the SummerSlam.
Rob, what's your take?
When I say says a lot, I'm talking about Vince McMahon.
Rob, what's
your take? I am really conflicted. Number one, this match basically just killed my night. The second that Cody wandered out there, it frosted over my whole experience for the rest of the night. However, to be absolutely fair to the match itself, Cody was in there with Seth Rollins, and they put on a damn good match. On the flip side, I do have to hand it to Marcus because he was right and I was wrong. It was the WWE rumors about Cody going back to Vince were true, and I have to give my hats off to him for reading the tea leaves correctly. So that's good on you. My personal feelings aside, it was a great match, but due to the nature of what was happening here, and because it took away from the performance for me, I have to give it the same 7 that I gave to Bianca and Becky. Because as good as the match was, it just kind of drained the warmth from my blood. So I'm gonna do a video on this match like before the end of the weekend for something else, but the 7 is about as fair as I can be.
I'm not invited.
Okay.
Rob, I'm not invited. You hurt my feelings. I'll cry tomorrow. Okay.
Huh? The video thing? It's a personal thing. It's not for us. This will be a rant about WWE in general. It's not. I mean, if you want me to make a video for you about this and send it to you, I can. But that's
yes. I want to hear it.
Oh, okay. You asked for it, brother.
You're
going to drop the leg on it, brother.
I mean, this might be something to put on the FTW YouTube page, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying.
But, yeah, I've got a lot to say about this match, but for the sake of keeping this show PG and keeping everything, like, online and kosher here and not we're going to move on because it wouldn't be fair. So we'll continue.
Right on.
Next matchup.
Oh, Tony's going to love this one. Ronda Rousey takes on Charlotte Flair. Marcus, go first. Rob, go second. I'll go third. And Tony, this is your
I'm going to give this match about an 8. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I'm ecstatic that Charlotte won because I'm a big Charlotte fan. I think she's absolutely the best in the business. And I just knew that they was going to put it on Ronda, and I'm so happy that they didn't. But it was a solid match. I don't think it was quite as good as the previous match, the Becky Bianca match. But I'll give it about an 8.
Okay. Rob?
I'm going to give this a 6.5, mainly because Charlotte went over. I was expecting them to put the belt on Ronda because that was the ending that they wanted for the three-way main event at 35, but they didn't pull the trigger on it. Instead, they gave it to Becky because everybody was behind Becky, and if they had had another ending, it probably would have caused a riot. Now, the match was passable, but for whatever reason, and I don't understand this because Shayna Baszler does it so much better, but for some reason, Ronda Rousey just cannot get the timing of professional wrestling. She there was just a lot of clumsiness in this match on her part, and even before the pandemic, when she was, trying to transition from shoot fighting to pro wrestling, she was just sloppy as all hell, and she's improved, but not to the same degree. And I thought Charlotte carried her to a decent match because Charlotte Flair is Charlotte Flair, and I'm glad they kept the belt on her, but I am still not impressed with Ronda Rousey as a professional wrestler. So I'm giving it 6.5.
Okay, my take on it. Honestly, I got to agree with Rob, but this is the reason why I give it an 8, is because Charlotte did carry that match. Charlotte did make that match look watchable and interesting. Charlotte did everything to make that match viewable. So, yeah, I got to give it an 8. I gave it an 8. Ronda brought it down, but I didn't think she brought it down that much. But I do think Ronda needs to figure out what the hell she's doing, because if you want an MMA girl to go out there and do the thing, just like Rob said, you can say in a basis, do it and do it better. So,
I would have much rather have seen Charlotte versus Shayna. I would have much rather have seen that match.
Yeah.
Tony, this is your golden child.
You know this is my golden child. This is my match of the night. I enjoyed this from beginning to end. Even watching this, Stephen Ronald to win. I take Charlotte. I'm behind Charlotte. Charlotte is the best female wrestler in the business today. Charlotte is a flair. Everything you guys said about Ronda Rousey is 1,000% true. The only reason why I'm giving this match a 9 instead of a 10 is because of Ronda Rousey. Charlotte Flair can go out there with a broomstick just like Ric Flair and make it a better match. And that's what she did with Ronda Rousey yesterday. And I'm happy that they didn't punish Charlotte. I am happy they were smart enough to keep the title on the right person. Charlotte performed incredibly last night. The only problem I have with the feud, the build-up, and the match itself is Ronda Rousey. She is lacking in the ring. She's lacking on promo. She is lacking in so many different areas. The only thing that she brings to the name, to this match is her name, and that's it. And she should not be rewarded for that. But Charlotte Flair stepped up, showed out, and I really think she probably stepped up her game even more because they should have been the main event.
Hell, Charlotte worked so hard that she had a nipple slip during the match.
Yes, she did.
which I completely missed, by the way. I didn't even see that until somebody sent me a still shot of it. But yes, Charlotte is an amazing performer.
I'm gonna need you to forward that. I'm gonna need that forwarded to me, okay?
Oh,
wow.
I need to not open my mouth at certain points. I apologize.
Okay. Last matchup of the night, guys, because we got a whole thing we got to go through here. It wasn't supposed to be a match, but it ended up a match. Kevin Owens taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin. No holds barred all over the arena. Marcus, Tony, Rob, and then I'll go last.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you guys. I thought since they turned this to a match, it should have been the main event. I'll elaborate later if we have time. Considering everything, I'm going to give the match about a 6.5. I think that's the only match Austin really could have did. I was very surprised. He took a bump outside on the floor, and I was happy that Austin gave Owens some offense. It wasn't a complete squash, and I think the way it ended was a good way to not make Owens look still keep Owens strong. You know, I mean, we know Austin had to go over, so I'll give it about a 6.5.
Okay, Tony,
I'm actually going to give it an 8. Match quality itself, it wasn't like the other matches. I mean, I felt a match was better considering like this is like 19 years after Austin's last match, and considering like his age and his injuries and everything. I thought Austin did really well. I don't think he did like, well, it was a performance of the night. It wasn't like his best match, but yeah, it was one of those things where like, this is the main event. They're in Dallas, Texas. This is his first match in 19 years. He can't lose to Kevin Owens in Dallas. But I will admit, though, when Owens hit him with that stunner, I thought he might lose. Like, I thought maybe he is going to, like, go out in his last match on his back, though, which I think the place would have rioted. Like, if Kevin Owens would have won that match in Dallas, I don't think he would have made it out of the arena. But for the But the fact that it was in Dallas, Texas, with the environment and everything, it earned it an 8.
Okay. I'm going to side with Marcus on this one. Let's be honest. The reason that there were nearly 78,000 people in that arena last night is because they wanted to see Austin. That was predicated on the ghost of the Attitude Era and people just to see Austin there and to ride in on the thing and do his stuff is the match itself. I'm going to give a 6 because I'm surprised Austin did all of the things that he did. He and Logan Paul surprised the hell out of me, but the bar for Austin was higher than for Logan Paul. But still, Austin does what Austin does, and he did it well. I really wish that he would have, like, saved all the beer stuff for after the match. I thought that got in the way, especially, like, soaking the ring because it was the end of the night. But still, let's just... I mean, I understand that Steve Austin is Steve Austin, but it's still the fact that a part-timer that they brought in for star value went over one of the established guys. And the fact that it was Kevin Owens taking the fall just makes that sin even more sinful. So as much as people love Austin... And I understand that. I'm still giving the match a 6 because it was still Kevin Owens jobbing to a part-timer.
Okay, let me say my...
Real quick before you go, though. Last week, wasn't I the only one to say it was going to be a match?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. All right, go ahead.
All right, we got a little bit of time, so I got to cut mine short. You're going to be surprised when I say my score. It wasn't the match of the night, but I gave it a 10. This is the reason why. Stone Cold, it's for a lot of the reasons that you guys said, where you guys said it was, and a lot of guys, and where Rob said in one particular thing that he didn't like it. And it was the reason why I did like it. I didn't expect Stone Cold to do no holds barred, blah, 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 and that fits his personality well anyway. So it goes with the story. You know what I'm saying? Second of all, I did not expect him to get suplexed on the floor.
Exactly.
And he got up, and he was still working it, and still working it, and still working it, and still working it. And the funny thing about it that I think where Rob didn't like it was he was drinking a beer through the whole thing. I was dying.
That's the first time I've seen him do that. That's the first time I've seen him do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, which is what got my attention and got me really interested in it, because it's like, oh, this dude's drinking a beer through the whole thing now. He's taking one of the established things and worked it into the match itself. This is awesome. You know, the nostalgia, everything was on point. You couldn't ask for a better. I mean, they were trying to counter CM Punk in Chicago. They almost did it. They didn't do it.
Almost, but they almost did it.
This match to me was
a to that.
Right.
The person I felt the worst for was the Sandman. Because his gimmick got stole again.
well, this is my point.
Yeah.
Austin did things in that ring nobody expected him to do, or in that arena that didn't expect him to do. He had comedy. He had brutality with it because he was fighting the whole time. And they told a story through that entire match. Even though Kevin Owens is an established star and he did not go over, I agree with it in this case because you have such a powerful superstar as Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's not like it's the Big Show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like somebody of that caliber. Right. This is your biggest moneymaker ever in the history of the WWE that has the most popular attendance, T-shirt sales, fans, people saying what all the time. You know, stuff like that.
Well,
I'm sorry. He should have went.
Of course he should have went over. There was no way that Owens was going to win, even though I wasn't expecting it to be a match. But guys, think about this. If Hulk Hogan went out there and had that exact same match with Kevin Owens, you would all be pissed. And rightly so, because I don't want Hulk Hogan to go out there and have a match anymore. I don't want Ric Flair to go out there and have a match anymore.
Wait. That's not Flair's style. That's not Hulk Hogan's style. That match was Stone Cold style.
I understand that, and I'm agreeing with you
100%.
It just still reflects badly on the overall condition of the company, is what I'm saying. It's nothing against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But here's the thing, though. Stone Cold last night performed better than Hulk Hogan in his prime in the ring.
And not only that.
Actually, hold on. Stone Cold last night performed in half the card that night.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
true. Austin did perform better than half the card the last night, but guys, I understand where you're coming from with this. It's not a criticism of Steve Austin, God knows, and he did everything. He did more than what I was expecting him to do by 100 times. What I'm saying is that look at all of the crap that they had to throw at the wall to get 78,000 people in that arena after 2 years of COVID and the lackluster things that WWE is doing in general, they had to throw two celebrity matches. They had to throw Austin at it. They had to put Undertaker in the Hall of Fame. They had to bring Cody in. They had to do all of that just to make WrestleMania WrestleMania, and that's just the first night. God knows what they're going to do today.
Here's the problem with WrestleMania. You book it two nights.
Right.
They should have came up with a phenomenal card if they just Saturday should have been Stand and Deliver, and that's it. And you should have had one at a WrestleMania. You could have made a solid card with your roster for one night.
Totally agree. Yes. Totally agree.
All right. Right now, we're getting short on time because we got a long thing to go through on this last one. This last one is going to be tonight's card, actually, predictions for tonight's card.
Okay.
And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches that's going to be coming on tonight. One of them I don't even count as a match, and that's the first one that I got up here. I think this is going to be the most atrocious thing that we've probably seen. And it's not because of some of the people on here. It's because of one team. And that's Zelina and Carmella.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry. God. Yeah. That's almost bad as the damn bunny. They're taking on Sasha and Naomi, Ripley and Morgan, and Natalya and Baszler. Three women that I think that should really be going for this title without having Zelina and Carmella anywhere around. They're a waste of salary.
You kind of had to have them in it.
You said what?
Did a chancellor. You can't really have it without them.
They shouldn't be champions. I'm sorry. They shouldn't be champion of the toilet paper in the restroom. They just, no. They shouldn't have it. Go first. Who do you think is going to win this one?
Sasha and Naomi, of course. I think Sasha is the biggest star in this ring. So for that reason, you know, as much as I love Naomi, I think they're walking out with the belts.
Right on. Rob.
I'll agree with Marcus. I'll take Sasha and Naomi, basically because that's the real feud here, and they've been building up Sasha for quite a while now, and Naomi is right there with her. So, that's what I'm taking.
Tony.
Sasha is definitely the biggest star in this match, and to be honest with you, outside of Natalya, Naomi is the most talented person in this match. So Sasha and Naomi. So I'll be honest with you, as long as Zelina and Carmelo don't leave with the titles, I'm fine with whatever, though. But Sasha and Naomi should leave with the belt.
Sasha and Naomi?
Mm-hmm.
My pick. You're going to be shocked at what I say. And I've been wrong this whole thing, so I'm probably going to be wrong on this.
I know who you're picking.
Who am I picking?
You're picking Natalya and Shayna.
No.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Natalya and Baszler should have the belt. They should. I just don't think that WWE sees that title run in them. Zelina and Carmella, you already know what I think of them. Garbage, toxic waste. Not even a toxic attraction, a toxic waste. So you go with Sasha. That leaves Sasha and Naomi and Ripley and Morgan on process of elimination. I'm sorry. I don't buy this I'm a good girl with Naomi thing. I think she's setting her up. I think she's going to turn on Naomi tonight. Naomi's going to be left out, and Ripley and Morgan is going to be the ones that win the belt, and it's going to be a feud set up with Sasha and Naomi.
I don't agree, but I don't like to see that. I don't see them doing that, but that would be cool.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put a touch on that, but I I like your finish better.
Yeah. Like I said, right now WWE could screw up a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing that now. I think after taking the belts.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to give them the belts at waste of time. They want Ripley and Morgan to have them belts, especially Morgan. They want Morgan to have that belt so bad. I think they're going to do it to where they're going to get the belts. Sasha's going to turn. Natalya and Baszler is going to be like, what the hell? Is Zelina and Carmella going to look like bimbo dolls as they usually do? So we're just going to leave it at that. Next one is something that's going to make all of us puke. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. I really don't care who wins this match. Does anybody care?
No. I do.
You do?
No, I do.
Oh,
I do. And here's the reason why.
So do I.
If Johnny Knoxville wins this fucking match, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And I hate Sami Zayn. That's the sad part about it. Johnny Knoxville pisses me off so bad because that piece of shit is making me pick Sami Zayn.
Yeah, at least it's not for the Intercontinental title.
Sorry for the cussing.
Yeah, on the 35th anniversary of Savage Steamboat, to have this match for the Intercontinental title would be a disgrace. And so I do care who wins this match. I want Sami Zayn to go over. I want Johnny Knoxville to have the honor and privilege of being the first celebrity WrestleMania guest star to stare at the lights. And that would be the only justice of having this piece of garbage match in the first place.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I'm going to say this right out. I think Johnny Knoxville is going to win, but I refuse to put my vote to somebody like that. So I'm going Sami Zayn.
I don't care if I am
going to lose this one. Sami Zayn will get my vote, and Johnny Knoxville can kiss my ass. Basically, because I can't stand
I'm going to say I'm gonna go with the heartbreak choice. I'm saying they're going to put over Johnny Knoxville because the only celebrity to ever lose at WrestleMania was the WrestleMania II Battle Royal. That was the only time a celebrity or guest wrestler has any time that a celebrity has been involved in a WrestleMania match, they've won, and I think this is not going to be an exception.
It makes me want to
puke in my soup, but Johnny Knoxville's going to win.
Okay. Next matchup, Lashley versus Almost. Tony, go first.
This match pains me. I like both guys. I like Lashley way more than Omos. I like both, but Lashley is a freaking beast. That should be just like running rush shot through everybody. But Omos is going to win.
Marcus?
You know what? Because I don't want to see either guy lose, I'm going to predict a curve. I'm going to throw in a curveball. I think it's going to be a double DQ. Is what I was going to predict. I'm predicting a double DQ.
Fair enough.
Rob, what do you say?
Lashley, he's more experienced, and the rookie can handle the loss better. So I'm going to say Lashley in this match.
I hope you're
right, Rob.
My pick, I would say,
if it was normal booking, definitely Lashley would win. But since this is a WWE, it's going to be Almost.
Yeah.
Next matchup. This is a matchup I'm kind of looking up to and looking forward to seeing. McAfee versus Austin Theory.
Oddly enough, I am
Marcus.
Too.
Yeah, Marcus,
you
what
know
you
what?
Think?
Think it's going to be... I'm going to say Theory. I know normally WWE booking calls for McAfee, but I think Vince sees so much in Theory, he doesn't want to bury him this early. So I'm going to pick Theory.
Rob?
I'm going to go with McAfee. Just because that seems to be the – I mean, if Knoxville is going over, then so is McAfee. just when it comes to outsiders looking into the business, Vince McMahon prefers to crap on the guys that are in the business rather than out, because he thinks for some reason that sells tickets. So I'm going to say McAfee.
Tony.
And this is a matchup I'm really looking forward to, because I really think, and it's a shame that Pat McAfee is involved in, like, a good build-up, better than most of your established stars. Like, I'm really looking forward to this match. This one, I'm expecting a good match, but I think Austin Theory is going to go over on this. But I think the whole storyline with him being Vince McMahon's protege, I think that's going to play into this, and I think that's going to entice that and kind of keep that momentum going. And McAfee could lose his belt. If they'll lose his match, it'd be fine. I mean, he put on a great show against Adam Cole in a losing effort, which I was worried about. And I see him performing well. I see him in his WrestleMania moment. I see, because of storyline and the whole thing with Vince and Theory's going to win this match.
My pick in this one is going to definitely be McAfee. Because of that loss that he had against Cole is why I think he's going to win. I think it's going to bring more heat on Theory to do more for Vince because he lost. And I think that's the story that's going to go forward. So I'll pick it McAfee in this one. Next matchup, we have the Raw Tag Team Championships, RK-Bro taking on the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. Marcus, go first.
I know.
This was hard.
It pains. I think I'm going to go with the Street Profits on this one. No, because I think RK-Bro is about to break up. I see that feud happening. I can't see them doing much more with Alpha Academy. So by default, I'm going Street Profits.
Rob.
I'm going to have to go with the Alpha Academy, because I think that Riddle, it does look like Riddle and Orton are going to break up, and the Street Profits are probably going to be the ones that are going to continue the feud, so it makes sense to put the belts on Alpha Academy, so that's what I'm going for. Now, of course, that's the booking that makes sense, so that I may be sucking hind tit on that one, but I'm going to go with Alpha Academy.
As long as it's got strawberry milk, suck that hind tit. Tony.
As I stand here talking to you guys with my RKO shirt, I'm picking RK-Bro, but I ain't going to be mad if Matt Riddle takes an RKO and they lose. I'm not going to be mad. They are going to split up. There's an RKO in Riddle's future, but I don't think that future is right now.
I'm thinking the heel turn was for a reason, and the Street Profits is going to walk away with their belts. They've been acting heels lately, so I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so.
It. Next matchup, another intriguing matchup. Edge taking on AJ Styles. I think this is going to be the match of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is going to be the match of the night. What do you think? Tony, go first.
I 100% agree with you. I haven't given a 10 out yet, and I got a feeling this will be a 10 match. But from beginning to end, for me, AJ Styles is going to walk away with this one. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal match, but I'm taking AJ Styles to win this one. It's going to be one of those things where, like, Edge went to a different way because he, like, the way he was, that Edge couldn't beat AJ Styles. I think this will be the story of, despite everything he did, the face that run this place, the phenomenal AJ Styles, is going to get that win. And I'm hoping this is going to be get him back on the track he was on a couple years ago. But they're going to tear the house
right
down.
On.
This match has the potential. Yeah, this match has the potential to be the the match of both nights. This could be the best match of WrestleMania. So I'm gonna say AJ, because that would make the most sense and put him back on track to be in the main event status. And I'm going with AJ here.
Marcus.
Okay, I'm expecting this match to be the match of both nights. I would be disappointed if it's not. I'm picking AJ to win, because I expect him within the next couple of months to be, no matter who wins the main event tonight, I expect him to be the next face opponent for whoever wins the title tonight, which I'll wait till that part to a prediction, but I'm predicting AJ.
And for mine, real short, it's just going to be AJ. I don't see Edge winning this. AJ is going to take it. And I do think he's going to be a contender for a title. I would agree with that. Now we have made it to the main event. We got 8 minutes left. Wow, I didn't think we were going to get through it with all this in time, but we did. We're here at the final threshold.
We did really good this week.
You said what?
We did really good this week, I think.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did excellent. On this matchup, it is title for title. Mano y mano. The reigning, defending, undisputed, except in Roman Reigns' eyes, heavyweight champion of the world, Brock
Lesnar,
taking on the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Rob first, Tony, Marcus, and me.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Okay, what we're looking at here is basically the main event that Vince wanted and the finish that Vince wanted when it first happened, and I think that that's exactly what we're going to get, because people are as sick of Lesnar now as they were of Roman back when this first happened. So I will be shocked and amazed if Lesnar wins this thing. And my best friend has already gone on record that if Lesnar does walk away with it, that he's going to stop watching. And he's one of the most loyal WWF fans that I've ever known. But I don't think that he has anything to worry about. I think that Reigns is going to take it, because that was the finish that Vince originally wanted, and this going to get it come hell or high water. So Roman is walking away with the big blueberry and the original black tonight.
Sorry.
I'm really surprised that like he feels that way. I really felt like Brock is more over now than he was before. It really seems like since Paul Heyman is not with him, he's there more. Like, yeah, he might not be wrestling as much, but he's there like every week. And he's cutting more promos. He's doing more though. So yeah, I'm kind of surprised about that. I'll be 1,000% honest with you. This is a match, I'll be honest with you, this particular match, I wouldn't be mad one way or the other as far as who wins. But there is no way in hell I see Brock Lesnar winning this match. They're keeping the belt on the tribal chief. They're keeping it on him. I mean, Roman Reigns is about to have one of the longest. He's going to be up there with, like, Hulk Hogan's title reign come next year's WrestleMania. And that's why I'm picking Roman Reigns, because I really think they're building him up to not only beat Brock Lesnar today, but and now he's going to have both belts. He's going to wrestle in Raw and SmackDown. And I think when he wrestles AJ, after AJ wins, it's going to be a phenomenal match. But Roman Reigns is going to have the belt for another year. Like, whoever wins Money in the Bank is going to fall to the Tribal Chief. When Tribal Chief walks, he's going to walk into SoFi next year as a champion, with another year under his belt as champion. This is going to be one of the greatest runs ever.
Right on.
Roman Reigns is
Marcus.
Definitely, Roman Reigns is going over. If for no other reason, Brock does not want to keep the schedule that a guy having to appear on both shows would want to keep. You know, and I still think they want to keep Brock as an attraction still. And he doesn't need a unified title to still be a attraction. So I'll keep it short. But for those reasons, I definitely think Roman is going over for sure. And as Vince's boy.
Okay, my pick. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm kind of torn on this. Because I have seen publications that I've been looking for places for us to go and all do a podcast from somewhere and go to one of the events. I've seen Lesnar on these schedules. That's confusing me. And to pay that much money for a guy to be there, I just don't see them spending that much money and not letting Lesnar have their belt. I think something controversial is going to happen. I think something screwy is going to happen. But I don't know what it is. I think Lesnar's going to win.
I'm going to have to see. We only got a couple minutes left. The only way I can see Lesnar winning is another Paul Heyman turn.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I honestly think Lesnar's going to, I mean, Heyman's going to be like, ha-ha, I tricked you. And then that's when you're going to see full force. Reigns is going to get that belt, but he's going to get it at SummerSlam. He's not getting it now. It's going to be SummerSlam when he gets that belt.
Wait a minute, Bobby. I have figured this whole thing out. What's going to happen is that a recently released AEW talent is going to run into the ring, and Lesnar and Reigns are going to knock themselves out, and the recently free agent Marco Stunt is going to jump into the ring, cover both unconscious men, and win both titles.
Oh, goodness.
Because it was publicly announced. Marco Stunt was recently released from his AEW contract, and he could be free to jump into the ring after Lesnar and Reigns knock both of themselves out. He will do a 6-star frog splash off the top rope onto both of them, and we will have a Marco Stunt as Universal and WWE Champion. First night in.
I got to say this. I would love for the Tribal Chief just to walk off. And we got 90 seconds to go, so let me close with this. I would love to see him walk off with the title. I would love to see him do it. I just think money-wise and business-wise, it's just not going to be good. And with him being on posters already, I just see Lesnar being greedy, taking it, holding it just to say he got the championship first, and then he'll lose it to Reigns down the line. But guys, we got less than 60 seconds left. I want to thank everybody. This has been a jam-packed portion of the FTW Future Focus. We have hit so many shows, so I think if it was females, we'd be having child support payments later. But, guys, Tony Motel-Dallas, thank you. You guys, thank you very much. I appreciate you being on. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are out for the FTW Future Focus. Tune in next week because we got some real big discussions going on next week after this. So, guys, again, thank you, and we will definitely see you in the future.
You know it's all about life.